What an awesome day that the Lord has given to us. Amen? Awesome. We need to remember to say thank you for these good things as when they happen. Well, listen, I just have a brief little thing I'd like to talk about tonight. I'd like to talk about our beliefs compared to our works. And you've heard Pastor Chip talk many times about how important prayer is, but we also need to back it up with the work that we do for the Lord. I believe that God has been emphasizing something to me lately about this. I believe that we need to review our relationship with the Father. We need to take a look at a vertical relationship, and we need to take a look at that horizontal relationship that we have with one another. And how does our life reflect these things, the way that we're really walking, in our attitude, and the things that we do every day? I would ask you, do we have a form of godliness, and yet do we deny its power? That question isn't as strange as you might think. Do we claim to know God and then deny him in our daily walk and in our works? We do. We come in here and we sing, I love you, Lord, and I love to be in your presence. We tell other people we're Christians. And then we go out and we get angry because somebody cut in front of us in line, or somebody got upset about the way we're driving, or whatever it is that bugs us. If other people are watching, which thing do you think they remember the most? The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, is quite clear in what he has to say about it. He warns that in the last days, there will be people who have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And he issues this command, have nothing to do with such people. And believe me, the last day started when Jesus rose again and he sent the Holy Spirit. And we're closer now than ever to his return. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, Titus 1:16, Paul says, there are people who profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. So you see, my question isn't so strange because it's even in the Word of God. Talking a good talk without walking the good walk is not a good witness. People will always want to see if what we say is how we really are. And it's true. Don't get me wrong, it's important what we say. We want to be speaking the Word of God. And those that have heard me teach before knows about me telling about when I had a particular department at a company that I was working for where I wasn't allowed to talk about Jesus Christ. You could talk about Buddha, you could talk about Muhammad, you could talk about other stuff, but you couldn't talk about Jesus Christ. It could put you in danger of losing your job. And there were people that knew how I felt about the Lord. But after 3 years of being in that department, they went from a department where there were people there that were selling drugs, a guy that got out of prison in a technicality for murder. People, there was a prostitute, two prostitutes in there. There were a couple other people that were in trouble for other things. There were some alcoholics and people that were stuck on drugs. That entire department turned around without me being able to talk about our Lord, but it was because of the witness. And I don't say that braggingly. I do not, because quite frankly, there was more than one day. My wife is sitting here. She can tell you there's more than one day. I'll have to tell you, if I didn't have a wife and four kids that I was responsible for, they could have had that job, because it really wasn't that much fun. But by being consistent in your walk, people will see sometimes more than what they hear with your talk. Again, what you say is important. I'm not making less of that. But then, once you've said something, people are going to watch to see if you're real or if you're one of those phony balonies. And that's when they'll make their decision about you. And that's when they'll make their decision about, is it really worth making this Christian walk? Because if this is the way people are going to be, why would I want to be one of them? So it's important how we present ourselves to other people. In Titus 1, verses 10 to 16, Paul gets very specific with examples of people who deny God with their works, and he talks about their pattern of behavior. Why do I believe that God is bringing this up? Because as we are going on this journey through life, I believe that we need to not go through kind of a road hypnosis kind of thing. What I mean by that is, like, have you ever been on a road trip, a long road trip, that went on for so long that there were moments on the trip where you started to drift in your lane, or maybe you didn't remember getting from here to there on that part of the trip? You got there, but you just don't remember that part. It's because you get into kind of a road hypnosis kind of thing because of the constant focus on that. If we're not careful, we can do that in our spiritual walk and in our daily walk. Maybe you started out being passive on the road, but as you got frustrated with other drivers or road conditions or whatever, you start getting more aggressive in your driving. Get tired of those people that are too slow in front of me and cutting me off and turning without a turn signal, and you start getting a little bit, getting kind of irritated. You know what I mean? Now, these might sound like silly examples, but could we be like that in our walk spiritually and relationally with one another? Can we drift from where we should be? And the answer is yes, we can. And we probably all do at one point or another. The difference is how far you drift before you catch yourself and come back. Can we become like the ones that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5? 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, that we call ourselves Christian, but then we dishonor the name of Christ in our behavior. Because that's what we're doing. When we say one thing and then act another, it doesn't just reflect on us. We're dishonoring Jesus Christ. Because we call ourselves by his name. We say that we are Christians, which means we should be Christ-like, right? When we dishonor his name, we do damage to the cause of Christ as well. I know it did to me when I was a young guy. Had been attending a church for a little while, which I didn't do when I was younger. Walked up to a couple pastors who had churches next door to each other in this little town. Started to ask them questions about God and what's some of this stuff all about. And they got so interested in their discussion between the two of them of how they were theologically different on some stuff, they didn't notice that I walked away until I got quite a ways away from them. Then they hollered to come back, and I just kind of like went, no, that's okay. If you guys are teaching other people and you can't agree on stuff, why would I want to listen to you? So we do damage to the cause of Christ if we're not careful with these things that we do. People will judge us by our fruit. Does that mean we're perfect? No, because every one of us is going to mess up. Every one of us needs Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're going to have good days, and then we're going to have days that we're going to be a little embarrassed about. It's just the truth. It's called life. Do people only see you for a moment and judge you by what they saw in that moment? Maybe somebody lives in the same little town that you do, and they see you at the store, and they overhear the way you're talking, you and your spouse or whoever. Or maybe they see you getting upset at the grocery line. Why is this line so slow? Hmm. Aren't they Christians? Don't they belong to that church? Now, what kind of a reputation do you think that gives you? And what about the people who have been around you more frequently and they see you all the time? Sometimes those are the ones you let your hair down a little bit with because you've gotten comfortable around them. And they were hanging around with you because they felt you were so solid in the Lord and it was a good relationship and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden you start to behave in a bad way. What kind of a witness is that? What we do impacts other people, whether we like it or not. The kids are watching, the grandchildren are watching, the neighbors are watching, people that you don't even know are watching. It was amazing when I retired from the place that I worked at that had several thousand people in it. There were some people that came up to me on the last couple days that I was working there, and they said, "I couldn't tell you this before, but since you're leaving now, I just want you to know. I'd heard about you and was watching your walk." I didn't even know who they were. I didn't even know they were watching. And the truth of the matter is, it gave me a little bit of a wake-up call, because we don't know who's watching us. You might be surprised. James tells us in James 2, verses 14 to 26, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, that our faith will be evidenced by our good works, which should occur naturally. It shouldn't be, "Well, yeah, I got to go do that. Church is having this event, I got to go do that." No. It should be something that, you know, if I can make myself available, I do want to do that. We shouldn't be grumbling about it. It's an opportunity. You don't know who you're going to be witnessing to that might be visiting that day. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes in his letter to Titus saying that Christians are these things. They are to be submissive to authority. They are to be obedient. They are to be ready for every good work. They are to speak evil of no one. That means gossiping is not a good thing, because gossip usually isn't spreading good news, it's usually spreading bad news. Bad news is always more popular and spreads faster. Speak evil of no one. We need to avoid quarreling. And we need to be gentle. And we need to show perfect courtesy towards all people. Being polite and having good manners never goes out of style. Told that to our kids. We told that to our grandchildren. I knew they weren't always going to be those sweet little angels. But people have a way of looking at somebody that has manners and respect in a different way than they do with somebody that just acts like a thug. We need to put our best foot forward. Now, Paul contrasts that with things that we shouldn't be, that we should not be, if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, and he brings these up in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For ourselves. He's not pointing at somebody else. He's saying, for ourselves, we were once foolish, disobedient, we were led astray, we were slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. How different is that from our Savior, who called himself gentle and lowly in Matthew 11:29. And we may say, "Well, I really wasn't like that before I was walking with the Lord." Ask some other people that knew you at the time. Sometimes we don't see things in ourselves that other people do see. Good and bad. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, It tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what you see that happens too much between people? Watch it with your kids or your grandchildren, and then apply it to some adults that you see around you or maybe yourself. The kind of people you hang around with, if you're not careful, the next thing you know, you start picking up some of their things. That can be good or that can be bad. You see it with kids. I never thought my child would do that. Then they start hanging around with whoever. Well, sometimes we do that as adults. But by the same token, you can say, wow, I wonder why he's behaving so much better than he used to. What's going on? He's even listening when I tell him to do something. It's because he was around somebody that was giving him a good example. Think about it this way. We service our vehicles to make sure that they function as they should. Make sure that we change the oil, the filters, rotate the tires so that they'll last a little bit longer and we don't have to buy them any sooner than we have to. All those kind of things so that you don't have to worry about being broke down along the road someplace. That's your vehicle. Do we do any type of routine maintenance on ourselves to make sure that we're still functioning as we should? Do we do a little 3,000-mile checkup on ourselves? Just asking. Hey, we're going along good. I don't need, if that thing broke, why do I need to fix it? Nobody said you were broke. But maybe your front end's getting a little out of alignment and you're starting to drift across the road. Maybe you need to get back in alignment again. If you do that for your car, maybe we need to do that for ourselves. Sometimes adjustments need to be made in our vehicle, and sometimes those adjustments need to happen so that we can function as we should. Small adjustments can bring such radical changes. I'm old enough to remember when you used to have to tune up cars pretty regularly. Not like the cars are today. And sometimes, just by opening the hood and making a couple little adjustments on the carburetor or whatever, all of a sudden it ran better. Maybe if we opened up the hood to our life and made a couple of small adjustments, we might run a little better too. In Galatians 5, verses 22 to 24, we're told, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." I think we all struggle with self-control once in a while. "Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires." Do we excuse ourself when we fall into bad behavior, and maybe we say, I can't help it. That's the way I've always been. So God must have made me that way, right? Because if I was behaving that way when I was 6 or 10 or 12 or whatever, that must be the way God made me. The problem is that you're lying to yourself when you say that. You're not just lying to the other person, but you're lying to yourself. Because you have to ask yourself, when we say those things or behave that way, are we denying God's power? And here's what I mean by that when I'm talking about that subject. The old is supposed to have passed away, and we should be new creatures in Christ. If you're a new creature and the old one has passed away, it doesn't matter how you behaved when you were 6 or 12 or 18. It doesn't matter. Because that passed away. So that excuse doesn't work. When you were a child, you behaved like a child. but there came a time when you put away childish things, or you should have. So you have to ask yourself, did I really surrender all? Or is it that I believe in God, but I doubt God's power to change me? And so there were a few, I changed what was convenient for me. I didn't necessarily change everything. I can still go back and say, well, that's kind of, you know, I've always had a temper, or I've always been this, or I've always been that. When you say that and you do that, you are denying God's power and his ability to do what he needs to do in your life. So do you really trust God? If someone else was hearing you or they were observing you, what would they think? And you didn't know that they could hear what you were saying or they were watching what you're doing. What would they think? If someone else was judging you based on your works, what would they say? Would they say they can't really count on you for anything? Would they say, well, you're the kind of neighbor that when things get a little tough, we know you're going to stop over and be there for us? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your ways straight. And some days I need to lean on him a whole lot more than I do on other days, just being honest. Because we all have those emotions, we all have stuff. Sometimes when you least expect it, something happens at the most inconvenient time. But Proverbs says he will make our way straight. He didn't say he might or he'd only do it under certain conditions. He said it will. Do you trust God? Did you truly surrender all to God? Or are you going to say, well, I've always been that way? No, the old was supposed to have died. So either you lied to God and you didn't really let the old die, or there's a part that you just didn't want to give up. God wants us to make us more like Christ. And his first intention was to design us in his image. When we talk about being designed in his image, we're not talking about whether you're a redhead with freckles or you got dark hair or whatever. That's not what God was talking about. We were supposed to be made in his image in the way that we think, in the way that we behave, in the things that we do. Again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. Maybe the message was just for me. But what I am trying to tell you is, God loves you. And just like when you, whether it's your kids, your children, maybe somebody that you're close to that just, you need to go over and say, hey, you know, really love your brother or sister, but we need to talk. Because the road your path, the path that you're taking is just not going to end very well. Well, if we care enough about somebody to do that, how much more would our loving Father do that for us? So these aren't words to attack or to throw stones, because I can't throw the first stone. I can't. But what I can tell you is what's available to us if we will surrender. And we do more than just say, well, I go to church, or I believe in God. Do you really? Do you walk the walk? Do you honestly believe that he's got the power, that when somebody's sick, you can pray for him, and that God really will respond? Do you believe that God can change lives? And it may not happen in the way that you expect. It may not happen in the timing. I've got a couple that I've been praying for a lot of years. But just because they haven't changed, because they do have their own will, doesn't mean that I should stop clinging to the hem of the garment. Father God, I pray that I delivered this in a way that was not offensive, but that it was in a way that can cause us to reflect in our walk with you. That what we would do is honor you, and that we would allow those things to change in ourselves so that we can be more like you. And to show you that we truly trust you, that we don't just say words and when the services go home and do whatever we want and say whatever we want. We do not want to deny you or your power. You have shown time and time again you are able. And you have shown time and time again you're not like man, you're not a liar, that your words will come true. But Lord, the weakness is on our side of this relationship. Help us, Father God, to trust you more, to believe in you more, and to honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.